Word this morning. My text is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. I see everybody's there. If you're there, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. The person who's at the machine must be really working in the spirit of excellence, please. Because I'm ready to operate in the spirit of excellence myself. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. There is a possibility of even the most skilled person to fall. I don't care how skilled you think you are, how of an expert you think you are. Anybody who puts one foot forward and pulls the other one forward and pulls the other one forward has a possibility of falling. And the scripture says, woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will boast. Who's at the back there? Can you get the right person, please? We are having church services on session. Pastor, let's go and correct that thing. It's becoming a bit much. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this service. Speak to us, Lord. Have your way. Let your church be edified. And I pray, oh God, that Lord, you'll bless everyone who came to church. I thank you, Father. Give me clarity of mind, clarity of word. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, by the grace of God, I was teaching about friendship. And I wasn't able to do justice to the subject that was before us because of time. And so please this morning allow me to do part two of the subject of friendship. I do part two because I believe that friendship is crucial for our existence and survival. I do this because I believe that friendship is part and parcel of living. Because God will bring people around you who will flavor your life and your existence on earth. I am one person who always envies those people who have got old-time friends they went to school with. They have a WhatsApp group. They catch up with each other. You know, they went to high school together or university, and they have got WhatsApp group, and once in a while they meet and enjoy tea and cake together. I envy those kind of people. For some of us don't have that. I think one of my cool guys I could have gone to school, it's just one that I can remember. Because everybody went their separate ways. And then some of us went to school outside the country, and we are not together. Of course, I can go to the computer and check out my university in the US and look at the names of the alumni of the college, and that's basically the bulk majority of what I can do. Just go and check the alumni guys we graduated with. But I can't tell you where they are. I cannot tell you whether they are in Atlanta or New York or Washington. I can't tell you. I mean, we went our separate ways the day we graduated from college. But some of you have got friends that you have kept for the longest time possible, which is such a blessing. It's such a blessing to be in the same WhatsApp group with guys you were in high school with, guys you were in college with, and you guys have maintained your friendships. You are close. You meet once in a while. What a blessing can that be? Well, we have different types of friends. For you see, all the friends are not the same. And that word can be used loosely or casually. So allow me to just go through the different classification of friends, and maybe you can place your friends in keeping with the classifications I'm going to give you. The first classification we have of friends is what I call acquaintances. People you know. People you say hi to. And this is just, you know, because you just met. Maybe you met in church, but that's basically it. Or met at the mall, or met at the, when you're going to walk. Those are acquaintances. But they also fall in the category of friends. But that's basically it. You just say hi. You may not even know their names. But when you meet, you just say hi, because maybe in the evening when you're walking, you maybe walk at the same time and you can see them and, you know, just say hello. Then we've got casual friends. Casual friends. You see more of them than their acquaintances. Maybe they're in the same club like you are in the same club, or you meet in places where both of you have got interests. Or maybe you're in the same board of the same company. And so when you meet, you just say hello, and you know, that's basically it, because you've got one common thing that brings you together and that makes you to be casual friends. You could even be in the same chama, but that doesn't make you close, because what brings you together is the objectives of the group that you both belong to. And if that group does not exist, maybe you will not continue as casual friends. Then we have got the classification of close friends. These are the friends that you visit, maybe go to their home, they come to your home, you share some things together which are a bit close to each other. You know, you can actually even plan to have tea together. You are close friends. You can even invite them to a birthday party of your child because you are close friends. When there's a wedding, you can invite them to join you. They are close friends. These are not just the acquaintances that you meet by flukes or happenstance. These ones have your number. These ones, you even WhatsApp each other. They're close. When they have something, you know. When you have something, they know. That's number three of classifications here. Number four. We have intimate friends. And this is your best friend. These ones get up close and you're very personal with them. You can share your heart with them. You can share with them what you not share with anybody else. They are intimate. These ones, you don't even have to put your guard up to protect you. You don't have to worry whether they're going to betray you. These ones, you lay yourself bare. It's like the story of Jonathan and David, really, where there is no gaps between you. You are one. You can even feel each other because you're so intimate. You can call the intimate friend and you can tell them whether they are down or they are up. They don't have to tell you because you're so intimate. So these ones are really the classification that is above all the other ones. They're above the acquaintances. They're above the casual. They're above the close. These are intimate friends. They are not that many, but if you're lucky, you can have one or two intimate friends. Now, the portion of scripture we have read, in most cases, is used for weddings, when people are coming together. I have used it for weddings, but it has got a bigger value than just weddings. It has got a bigger meaning than weddings. It says two are better than one because they have a good reward. Means that true friends, when they work together, they have a better reward. Friends work together. Friends pull together. Friends, when they work together, their reward is better. So says the scripture. They encourage each other. Friends don't put down one another. So the Bible says that two is better together when they work together because they have a better reward. You're better when you're two than when you're one, says the scriptures. Somebody say amen. But then it goes on to say that two are better than one, not just because when they put their heads together and their hands together, the return is better, but to say, woe to him who is alone. Because should you fall when you are alone and you don't have a friend, no one is going to pick you up. Because true friends, and I want you to hear me and hear me good, true friends pick each other up. You can't claim to be a friend and your friend falls and you leave them down in the pit. The Bible says that this one who is up, it is their responsibility to pick this one who is down. And so whenever you're down, and trust me, there are days when you're going to be down, you have to look at who is it that has come to pick you up. Because the one who has come to pick you up is truly your friend. The one who has come to cry with you is truly your friend. The one who has come alongside to hug you and to put his hand around you in your day of trouble is truly your friend. For the Bible says the advantage you're going to have is that when you fall, they will be ready to pick you. And it goes on to say, woe is the one who is alone. And the reason why it's the woe to him or her is that when they fall, there will be nobody to go and pick them up. That means they will stay in the pit of sorrow or discouragement or whatever they are going through, because there will be no help for the one who falls and they find themselves to be alone. Who is that person that can come at the midnight hour and pull you out in your day of distress? When you send out the SOS, who will come at the midnight hour to pull you out? That is your friend. Then this portion of scripture goes on and says, it is better to be two because they warm each other. Now the warming here, of course, they're talking about when they lie together. Can all the single people say amen? No amen from the single people. Can all the married people say amen? Amen. Look at you people, you married people. But then the meaning is more than two people lying together. The meaning of warm here means that the world has a way of being cold. The world has a way of being cold. And it also infers and implies that when things don't go your way, you can be deserted. When your business is closed and you're being auctioned, not many will be around you. Because people will celebrate you when things are going well. But when things take another turn, because they can't take another turn, when you get that phone call that the auctioneers are coming for you, you won't find a lot of friends. And that time can be a time when you are in a place of desolation, a place of coldness, because you won't have a lot of people surrounding you when things are not going well. For people can be fickle, and people, not everybody, celebrates you the way you think they're celebrating you. When life turns around, then you are cold. That's the time you call people and they don't answer. That's the time no one is texting you. You are cold. When money has disappeared, when fame has disappeared, when prominence has disappeared, that's a time of coldness. And the world sometimes can throw you, usher you into coldness. So the Bible says you are better off when you are two, because that other friend of yours will come and they will warm you up. They will stand with you in your time of aloneness. They will encourage you in your time of being alone, and it is so rough for you and no one wants to identify with you. Then the Bible says you're better off when you're two, and because that other friend of yours, somebody say friend, will be there for you. So he says you're better off. So it has a bigger meaning than just warming each other in bed if you're married. It talks about just walking through this pilgrimage of life, and sometimes things don't go your way. The other one will come and they will warm you up. You're better off when you're two. That friend will come in handy. Say amen. So two are better than one. It says even they are better than one, because when you are in a warfare, when you are in a spiritual warfare, things are rough. If you have a true friend, you will withstand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will withstand the attacks that are leveled against you when you have a friend. When you have a friend, you have got some guts to withstand the warfares that may come your way. It says two are better. They will withstand him who is attacking you. And the good thing about it here is not that just the two of you. It also goes and says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is you and your friend and guess who? God. Can you say amen? Amen? So he says you're better off. They can pray with you. They can stand with you. They will fight with you. They will make sure they knock the right doors for you. They will make sure they make the right calls for you, because they are a true friend. And when you are two, it says the battle is easier. By the way, did you know, just sharing a problem with a friend, the problem is half solved? Did you know that? Just sharing a friend, with a friend rather, your issues, you feel lighter, you feel better. Does it happen to you? Hello, am I talking to deaf people? Can I use sign language? Are you hearing me? Oh, I thought I'm going to go like this because, you know, maybe you're not hearing me. When you have a friend, a true friend, the burden is made lighter. You fight better with a friend who will call you and check on you and ask you, how is it going? Are you better off today than yesterday? When you have a true friend who cares, who will tell you, hey, you're better off than this. Wake up and dust yourself and keep on moving. When you have a true friend, that's a true friend. That's a true friend. So as I continue teaching this morning, just I hope you're going through the list of your friends. True friend. Well, the scripture says there are certain things that a friend does. Number one,
A true friend, according to Romans 3:23, a true friend will pick you up. A true friend picks you up. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times. That means a friend will accept you as you are. A true friend loves at all times. A friend will know everything about you and still love you because they have accepted you. So the wise Solomon tells us, a true friend accepts you as you are, accepts your faults, accepts your blunders, accepts you as you are when you mess up, your quirks, everything. A true friend accepts you. You don't have to put your best foot forward for your friend to accept you. The Bible says a true friend will accept you. So you've got to check, are you pretending or are you real? Because if you're real and he still loves you or she still loves you, that is a true friend. They accept you as you are. They know your weaknesses. They know your strengths. They know what you can do and what you cannot do. And they still accept you as you are. For the Bible says, a friend loves at all times. But also a friend has to be friendly. Proverbs 18 and 24. The Bible says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. You have to make it easy for you to be loved by a friend. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. There are some people who are hard to love. Hello? Hello? There are people who are difficult to love. You cannot expect to have friends and you yourself, you're not friendly. Yeah. Don't expect me to call you if you're not calling me. Don't expect me to be the one always texting you if you're not texting me. Hey, can we talk, please? Can we talk? Don't expect to be eating my free lunch and you're never buying me lunch. Hey. The Bible says he that is going to be friend, have friends must themselves also show that they are friendly. So it's not just a one-way direction, eh? It's not just a one-way ticket. And I'm telling you the truth, some people are difficult to befriend. And those people who are difficult to befriend, drop them. Too much work. Anywhere in Mzigo. You think that you're the only one to be carried. You think that you're the only one to be, you know, to be pembelezed all the time. Oh, Susie, umekula breakfast. Susie, umekula lunch. Susie, umekula dinner. My friend, you are too much work. The Bible says, not me, he, the man who has friends, must himself do what? You must also be friendly. You must also be friendly. That means that it's not a one-way ticket. Both of us have to be texting. Both of us have to be checking on each other. Both of us have to take out each other for lunch or whatever it is. Both of us have to participate. We are in this together. And you're not going to be there and complaining how you don't have friends and you yourself are not friendly. Am I talking to you? So you also have to show yourself to be friendly. The Bible says a true friend is truthful. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. You have to be truthful. A writer by the name of Oscar said, a true friend, listen to this, stabs you from the front. The enemy stabs you from the back. And they say that when you are a true friend, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy, they are deceitful. Be honest with each other if you're true friends. Be truthful with each other if you're true friends. Speak the truth in love if you're true friends. If you're true friends. If you see your friend is going right into the hole, you better tell them you're heading into the hole. Let them hate you then, they will love you later. A true friend speaks the truth and does not lie. I know of so many friends who don't tell each other the truth. I know of so many friends who are just lying to each other. I know of so many friends who can never face another friend and tell them the truth of God. And you wait until everything has gone crazy and then start saying you knew. What did you know? What did you really know? True friends speak the truth to each other. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That means that a true friend must make you better. Somebody say better. Say that again, better. A true friend must make sure they are better than they found you. The problem is we have worthless friendships. We have, and some of you have got to go and re-examine all this friendship subject that I'm teaching, because some of you will need to change your friends. Some of you have got, I was going to use a very difficult word, but maybe I would say blood suckers for friends. People who drain you. People who pull out of you. People who don't add value to you. People that mess you up. Now I know you can't say amen, but it's all right. Some of you have got friends that you need to cut off. You're wasting your time and your life with the wrong people. This is hard, is it? But you'll thank me later. You need to change the catalog of your friends, because the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. That means that your friend should make you better, improve you, take you higher, lift you and promote you and challenge you and stretch you. You do not need to have a friend who is just draining you and use. Oh yeah, I said using you. That's true. There are some friends who are there just to use you. And if you don't have anything for them to gain from, they will disappear. They're just users. But the Bible says that a true friend will sharpen your countenance as a friend sharpeneth the face, will look better. You will shine because of a friend. You will look better because of a, that's what the Bible teaches. Do you still have friends? Do you still have friends? There was a man by the pool of Bethesda, lying there for 38 years. And the Bible says that each time he tried to get into the pool for his own healing and deliverance, somebody else went in. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, goes to the pool and finds this man who has been waiting for 38 years. I don't know if there's somebody who has waited for 38 years. Some of you waited for a week and you gave up. For 38 years, the man was there just waiting for his miracle. And Jesus appearing, the man tells Jesus, I have no man. Poor man, he didn't have a friend. Poor sick man, he didn't have a true friend that could aid him and help him and throw him into the pool so that he can get his deliverance. I am here to tell you that a true friend will leave you better than they found you. I'm here to tell you a true friend will improve you. I'm here to tell you a true friend will stretch you. We have a friend that is closer than a brother. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is a friend. You can call him in the midnight hour. I feel like I'm going to preach now. Jesus is a friend that will never let you down. Jesus Christ is a friend that lifted you when you fell. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 said, you fell. All of us have fallen. But Jesus Christ reached out his hand and pulled you up and placed your feet on the solid rock. That is what friendship is all about. Pulling you up and leaving you better. There is a friend. His name is Jesus. Somebody say amen. There is a friend. His name is the Lord God Almighty. He will never leave you. He will always be there. He said, I will always be with you. Somebody give God a round of applause. Jesus. Jesus. No wonder we sing, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When no one else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Jesus Christ is a true friend that you can rely on. When all have gone, you can count on the love of Jesus Christ. And by the way, do you know, Jesus Christ turns and says, I no longer call you my workers. I call you friends. You are my friends. He says, I do no longer call you any other word, but I call you friends. We are true friends to Jesus. And Jesus says, he is our friend. No wonder we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a friend we have in Jesus. You have a friend in Jesus. I know by preaching this way, maybe you thought whether you don't have a friend or what, you went through the catalog of it, but there's a friend that you can rely on. There is a friend that you can lean on. There is a friend that is remaining true to you. There is a friend when you are broke. There is a friend when you are crying. There is a friend when you don't have that degree. There is a friend. His name is Jesus Christ. And you can lean on Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. I think we should sing that song, by the way. What a friend we have in Jesus. Please rise up on your feet. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a friend we have in Jesus. I hope after this service you will not confuse the acquaintances with the casual friends and the casual friends with the close friends and the close friends with the intimate friends. I hope you'll make it clear in your head who is who in your life. Who is who? now that you know, so that you don't go telling your secrets to acquaintances and then wonder they're all out there, then start crying. I thought this was, no, now you know. You know the difference between acquaintances? Those are the guys that you just meet, say hello, you don't even know their name sometimes. And I'm not going to come and tell you stories about my wife with an acquaintance. I won't. You can't tell an acquaintance stories about your boyfriend. Are you crazy? Hello? A lady was going to a man and telling the man how she's being mistreated with a boyfriend. All the man did is tell her, leave that guy and come to me. You cannot make those blunders anymore. Who are you telling what? Do you have classifications of who is who and where they are? So that lady eventually left the boyfriend and went to the acquaintance because of stupidity. A true friend will never take your boyfriend. Can the lady say amen? Can you shout a bigger amen? Because I know it has happened to you. Menyanganyo my boyfriend na wajamai mnaita marafiki. Na si marafiki. Let us get real. Oh, guess what she did? She was not your friend. Guess what he did? Acquaintance. You have your place. Your place is just high. Your place is high. And bye. Cannot open my heart to an acquaintance. Are you crazy? I met you for the first day and I'm telling you about everything about me that is close. Are you sick? And maybe I may never meet you again. It's like when you're flying and you know you're sitting next to somebody, a stranger, you're a total stranger. And the stranger begins to tell you, oh, my wife is like this, my wife has done this, oh, Nina, I'm divorced. What? Who cares? After the flight, I'm not meeting you again. Bye. I'll never meet you again after the flight. So I'm not going to open myself to you. It's just a flight of 2 hours. And after that, just a little bit of wisdom for life. So you stop crying. Because some of you are crying because of the wrong mistakes you've made. Blunders you've made. Intimate friends are the ones that you share your soul with, your heart with. Not people I meet at the club. Because you play golf, I play golf. It's golf that has brought us together. Let's play. After that, everybody goes to their home. Simple. But my intimate friends are here. Here. Hope this helps somebody. What a friend you have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Oh,
our sins and griefs to bear.
What a privilege.
What a privilege to carry
everything to God in prayer.
Everything to God. Oh, what peace we often feel. because we do not hurry.
Everything to God.
Everything to God in prayer.
Presence of the Lord.